Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Tuesday, November 25th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. A new investigation examines labor violations putting child workers at risk in the agricultural industry. And yes, children can legally work the fields.
So it's perfectly legal for a 12-year-old to work in the fields or in the orchards, provided there are certain things that are in place.
Coming up, we'll speak with a reporter who told the stories of many child farm workers. But first, these headlines. Hundreds of millions of dollars of federal funding are once again on the line for the city of Fresno. The U.S. Department of Justice is appealing a ruling that stopped them from stripping funding for Fresno. That's according to our newsroom partner, Fresnoland. The money was threatened after federal agencies determined cities like Fresno were not following President Trump's executive orders on diversity programs. The federal government has been back in session for almost 2 weeks, but social service organizations that were inundated with requests for assistance are still struggling. KVPR's Carrie Klein reports from a food pantry run by the Catholic Church in Sanger.
This is our pantry, and this is
where Father Hannibal House is a food pantry and thrift store run by St. Mary's Parish. Amanda Luperina is one of the managers. She says the need for food skyrocketed when the federal government temporarily withheld food stamps from recipients. And that demand hasn't slowed, even with the government back open.
The government shutdown made it increase to where we hardly had anything to give anybody, where our shelves just went empty.
Most of their food is donated by Walmart or bought from the Central California Food Bank. But Luperina says donations are always welcome.
We're actually praying that someone has a heart out there that you look through your cabinets and please donate some cans. Or you can buy stuff and donate.
Many parish-run pantries in the San Joaquin Valley are facing a similar surge in demand. For KVPR News, I'm Carrie Klein.
Bakersfield Assemblywoman Jasmine Baines is calling on Governor Gavin Newsom to stop the revocation of thousands of truck driver licenses. Earlier this month, the state began revoking commercial driver's licenses earned by immigrants after an audit by the Federal Transportation Department. But Baines, who is also of Sikh origin, said in a statement on Monday that the move unjustly targets members of the Sikh and Indian communities. She says drivers who stand to lose their license have valid work permits. In the past few years, Governor Gavin Newsom has shut down four prisons, with a fifth closure on its way. He said those changes, along with some other reductions, are saving the state around $900 million a year. But according to a new report, the state's corrections department is still running a huge deficit. Kayla Mihalovich with our California newsroom partner Cal Matters has more.
The California Corrections Department is on track to exceed its budget by roughly $850 million by 2027. That's according to the state's Legislative Analyst Office. Lawmakers like San Francisco Senator Scott Wiener expressed shock that the department has continued to overspend, especially since the state stepped in with a one-time infusion of $350 million in May to help CDCR cover costs like workers' compensation, food for incarcerated people, and overtime. The overspending is happening even as the state says it's saving hundreds of millions by shutting down five prisons. Neither Newsom's finance department nor CDCR would comment on the spending.
That was Kayla Mihalovich with Cal Matters. The corrections department's deficit is just one part of the nearly $18 billion budget shortfall the state is now projecting.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from Petunia's Place in Fresno, celebrating Small Business Saturday, November 29th, with a presentation and book signing with local author Gene Chaffee, story time with Eric Carle character Lowly Worm, book giveaways, and a gift certificate drawing. More information at petuniasbooks.com.
And now to our main story. Central California's abundant produce feeds the world, from nuts and fruits in the valley to leafy kale and lettuce grown on the Central Coast. And farm workers are doing the physically demanding job of growing and harvesting that food, whether it's squatting to collect strawberries or hand-picking oranges from a thorny tree. So what if I told you that some of those workers are children? Turns out it's not uncommon for kids to work in California's fields, often alongside their parents or family members. Up to 10,000 field workers in the state are children, according to the National Agricultural Workers Survey. This is technically legal since the agriculture industry has different standards than other businesses, but a new investigation shows they're commonly subject to unsafe working conditions and other labor violations. Robert Lopez tells the story of dozens of children in his new piece titled California's Child Farm Workers, Exhausted, Underpaid, and Toiling in Toxic Fields. Robert's report was published as part of a partnership between the online investigative outlet Capital in Maine and the Los Angeles Times. I start our conversation by asking Robert to explain how kids are allowed to work in the fields.
Well, in California, most jobs, you have to be 14 years old to work. But under state law, you can be as young as 12 and work up to 40 hours a week in the agricultural industry when school is not in session. So it's perfectly legal for a 12-year-old to work in the fields or in the orchards, provided there are certain things that are in place. First and foremost, you are supposed to have a work permit from your school district. And the school district is supposed to inform you of your rights. As I found out, however, that really doesn't happen with much regularity. In fact, none of the youths I interviewed were even aware they needed work permits. They didn't know anything about work permits, and they were really never asked for them because employers didn't ask about their ages.
You know, your recent reporting highlights the stories of many of these under 18-year-old farm workers. What were some of the common experiences you heard?
Yes, I mean, I did my first interviews in late October 2023. And what I heard on those occasions were issues about chemicals in the fields, fields that smelled of chemicals, and in a couple cases where tractors were spraying liquids that had a strong chemical smell very close to where these youths and their families were working. And that sort of became something I heard repeatedly. I had never covered agriculture. I'm an investigative reporter. And I realized pretty early on that, well, I'm going to need to look into the pesticide issue and learn a little bit about that. Other common threads that ran throughout the interviews with everybody were just the harsh nature of the work, very physical, bending over, working in the heat, often triple digits, temperatures, working at times, you know, without shade or extra water breaks, and issues such as, you know, piece rate work. And because these kids were young, you know, they couldn't work as fast as adults. So in some cases, they wouldn't fill enough boxes or crates to earn the equivalent of minimum wage. So these were issues that really I heard repeatedly throughout my interviews.
Yeah, you described one of the young women as a diminutive young woman trying to, you know, harvest these massive amounts of food. And it really illustrates some of these people aren't fully developed yet and probably not as strong as the adults. Pivoting a little bit, California has an agency that investigates workplace complaints, including on farms. It's called Cal-OSHA, which many folks probably know. Now, you reviewed thousands of documents with that agency. So what are they doing when it comes to handling investigations into complaints by these workers?
Well, there are two separate agencies that are part of the Department of Industrial Relations that come into play when it comes to underage agricultural workers. One is Cal-OSHA, which is responsible for investigating worksite safety, ensuring that California's outdoor heat law is adhered to, which requires shade when it's over 80 degrees, water breaks and water be provided to workers. And then there's the Division of Labor Standards Enforcement, and specifically it's Bureau of Field Enforcement. And that bureau is responsible for ensuring child labor laws, that employers follow child labor laws, and it also investigates wage and hour laws, wage theft. So when it comes to CalOSHA, there were thousands of complaints that were never investigated. In fact, the majority of complaints filed for alleged violations of the outdoor heat law were never investigated. A majority of injury and illness reports stemming from outdoor heat that were submitted by employers to CalOSHA were never investigated. And more than $30 million in fines were issued over a 10-year period, and less than half of those were collected. And on the other end, with the Bureau of Field Enforcement, which, as I said, is responsible for regulating child labor and wage and hour law, there were areas of California's agricultural heartland that went years without a worksite inspection. The Fresno office, which covers an area of more than 5,000 acres, where more than 3,000 agricultural businesses operate, there were 3 years where there were no investigations at all, and over an eight-year period, there was an average of less than four investigations a year. So clearly, investigators are not going out there to make inspections. And when that happens, you're not uncovering abuses. And in fact, during that 8-year period, there were only 27 violations issued for child labor law across all of California.
So why the lack of enforcement?
You know, part of it is rooted in the lack of personnel. I mean, for child labor inspections and wage and hour inspections, as of May, there were 54 investigators responsible for covering the entire state. And these investigators are responsible for covering more than a half dozen industries. We're not just talking agriculture, we're talking car washes, hotels, warehouses. I mean, so if you think about it, that's a lot of ground to cover.
I want to mention you spoke to a social worker from the Fresno County town of Parlier, and she told you that the number of underage workers she fears is really high, but she says some families are actually pushed to do this for economic reasons, right? So did she propose any solutions?
She did. And, you know, she brought up a very good point. This was a social worker who works in Parlier in Fresno County, very heavily dependent on agriculture in that area, as you know. And she pointed out what really is the issue here. It's poverty. These young people are in the fields not because they want to be in the fields. Their parents are asking them to help them, not because they want to, but because they have to. They're making minimum wages. And so she and others are just saying that one of the things that needs to be done is, you know, you need to pay agricultural workers more. And of course, you know, there is a law that does require overtime for agricultural workers. But as I pointed out in my report, a recent study by UC Davis found that after that law went into effect in 2019, the actual number of hours that agricultural workers labored were cut and their earnings decreased. So it's a very complex issue.
Lastly, Robert, is there anything being done to address that at the state level or just to make sure farms are actually following rules?
I actually have some interviews with some state lawmakers scheduled this week and next week. And so I'm going to try and work on a follow-up report to see what, if anything, they might propose. But certainly, I think one thing that needs to be done is you just need to have a more visible presence out there from regulators. And number two, I think you could create some educational materials that would be tailored toward young workers regarding specifics as they relate to agriculture, knowing your rights about pesticides and other issues such as that. So I'll just have to see what state lawmakers have to say about this.
Robert Lopez, independent journalist, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Robert recently published his in-depth investigation in partnership with nonprofit news outlet Capital and Maine and the LA Times. And you can read Robert's two-part report at capitalandmaine.com. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. You can find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.